get your Bible. I hope everybody's doing well. Today I'm still in my series, I'm in my feelings, and today I'm going to tell you about faith over feelings. This morning when I came in, my computer would not work at all. I couldn't pull my notes up. I couldn't pull my sermon up. Thank God Friday when I was in here, I loaded my slides, so I had that. So I had to go from memory and pull all my notes up, and I immediately got frantic. I'm the type of person, I have to have things in a certain order. And it was raining outside, and Michael opened up during praise and worship, and he said, "Let's give God praise." The first thing, as soon as service opened up, and I heard, I said, "There ain't but three people in there." I said, "I can't find my notes. There are three people out there in the morning service." I said, "What is going on?" You know, I started to get in my feelings. And I said, "Devil, I bind you now." I laid my hands on my computer. I prayed over my, it still didn't come up. And I said, "What in the world is going on?" So I had to redo my notes that I did there. I had to calm myself down. I thought about something that, I'll tell you what stilled me. I thought about something when I first started preaching that they taught us. And they said, when you are studying to preach, you study yourself full, you think yourself clear, you pray yourself on fire. Any Pentecostal folk in here? You pray yourself on fire. Not literally, you know what I mean, but you know, the anointing of God. And then it said you preach yourself empty. And nowhere in there was, did I have to have my notes, but I can recreate them. And I just believe God that things are going to come out of me. All of my notes came out fine. Y'all know after service, that first service, my computer came up. And every note that I had wrote on here was the same as what I had written that week. God said, "Just trust me, I always got you." And it's the same thing with you all today. Faith and your feelings work, and they're trying to pull you in a certain direction. Faith says, "I am blank, so I will." Feelings say, "I am blank, so what if?" Feelings say, "I'm guilty, so what if my world's going to fall apart?" Something happens. I think my computer's messing up. Lord, what have I done wrong? I done repented of every sin I did since I was two. I got my brother spanking when he was young. My parents just found out about when I've repented of all that stuff like that. I said, "Would that fix it?" No. Feelings say, "What if I'm guilty?" Say, "I'm guilty. So what if this is a result?" But faith says, "All right, I feel guilty, so I will repent, so the restoration of God can show up." Faith says, "I'm sick, so I will trust God for His word. Go to the doctor and do what I need to do because I cannot die until I stop living." Feelings say, "I am sick, so what if this is my last year? What if this is going to take me out?" All these what ifs. Notice when feelings kick in, there's always a what if and there's no absolute. The word of God is absolute. So you got to trust it when you're doing faith over feelings. So I'm going to show you how to build your faith this morning. Is that all right with you? Amen. So to live by faith, you live from the inside out. To live over your feelings, the first thing is this. You got to choose to believe the word of God on how to live. You got to choose to believe the word of God. Can I challenge you guys with this? I love the atmosphere, the feeling that we have of praise and worship, but nothing can substitute your personal time with God. Nothing will substitute you finding your devotional, you find your scripture. Nothing can substitute that because your life is built on the word of God. Here's the big thing I love about the word of God. The word of God is not bound. It's always free. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. When I first read this scripture, I didn't have no organ, no nothing in my room, but I got so excited because when I saw what the word of God could do. Paul said this, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal." So watch this. He was in jail, but he said this very important point. He said, "But the word of God is not bound." I don't care what you experience in your life. You may be bound, but the word of God is not bound. Your situation doesn't change the word, but the word of God has the power to change your situations. Guess what? Your feelings are bound to whatever you're going through. If you're sad, whatever you're going through is probably a depressing situation. If you're angry, you're bound to that angry situation. But the word of God is truth. It has no feelings. It goes through with you to deliver you and to bring you out. Somebody say, "The word of God is not bound." Come on, say it with a conviction. The word of God is not bound. One more time. Yeah, I want that to get in your spirit. Whatever you're going through, we got a whole lot of stuff we use, but use the word. And the next thing is this. There is enough faith in the word spoken. There was enough faith in the word spoken to accomplish what is sent to do. Let me show you this in Isaiah 55. It says this. Start at verse 10. It says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing that I send it. Whenever God speaks a word over your life into your situation, it will prosper and it will succeed. I don't care what the situation say. Watch this, because my faith is in the word and my faith is not in my ability, whether good or bad. Many of us think our faith works based off where you are. So if you've done something wrong and you feel guilty, I can't pray because my faith will not work. Sin does not contaminate the word of God, but the word of God will eradicate your sin. I don't care how good of things that you do. You know, I help people move for free. I mow little old ladies' yards, and I don't even charge them nothing. That doesn't make your faith stronger. The word is strong by itself. You all right in here? Because if guilt controlled your faith, a person who has brought something on themselves couldn't say, God, I need you to heal me. I believe God is a healer. I don't care if you have AIDS, the cancer, or whatever you have. I believe that God can heal you. And if you are guilty, you cannot receive from God. But when you believe that what God's word has spoken over your life, it will come to pass. Somebody say it will come to pass. Let me make it ring real home to you. I've lived this out when you've been in a situation where you made a mistake. Anybody made some mistakes in here? Come on, let's be honest. Anybody made some mistakes in here? Anybody seen God deliver you from your mistakes? Yeah, I messed up. I was ignorant in what we did when we were selling our house in Smyrna, moving to Antioch. I signed the paper wrong, and I didn't sign buying a house contingent upon selling a house. So if it was going to go through whether we sold it or not, I was going to have two notes. And I said, Lord, you know we can't afford two notes. It's by faith we're going into this house. I got a hold. I think it was my brother gave me Psalms 37, 3 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shall you dwell in the land. I researched that dwell in the land, and it said God wants us to buy property. I said, oh, this is the will of God for me to buy property. And it said, verily shall you be fed, meaning God is going to supply your need. It said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It does not mean that God gives you a physical thing. It means God gives you the desire. God gives you what to desire. It said, commit your way to him, trust him, and he will bring it to pass. I stood on that word. I said, God, I need this house to sell before we move into that house. And I believe God. And he said, then shall your righteousness shine forth as the light and thy justice as the noonday. Can I tell you, I think that house may have been on the market for about 2 weeks, and it sold in Smyrna, and we didn't have two notes in one time. Not only that, when we moved into our house at Antioch, God increased our finances four times over the course of that year. I got a promotion on my job. I got a bonus. I got something else that happened. Then I got another job and an increase in that. When you trust God's word over your situation, God will bring you through. I didn't catch my breath. I don't care what you're facing right now. Some of you right now, I'm feeling you. I can see the look in your eye. Your guilt is consuming you. Your guilt is shaping how you see yourself. You don't see yourself based off what you've done. You see yourself based off what God wants to do in your life, because God's word will accomplish what he sends it out to do. That makes sense in here? Next thing is this. You build your faith according to the word of God and not your situation. Romans 10, 17. Anybody love the word in here? Yes. It says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if faith comes by what you hear, how do you think fear comes? By what you hear. You feed yourself the wrong information, watch what grows, your fear. You feed yourself the right information, guess what grows? Your faith. Faith and fear are governed by information. When I was, I lived in Philadelphia, and Barbara and I were engaged. She said, I don't want to live in Philadelphia. We said, where are we going to live? Nashville. I went and told my boss, I'm going to move to Nashville July of this year. I believed God for a job. I applied for the job, and I got the job, and I moved down here. When I got to Nashville, there were people that looked at me and said, that job has been open for a year. I can't believe somebody actually took it. I said, why would somebody not take the job? Nobody wanted to work for the boss that you have. Thanks be unto God that I didn't know that. That was one of the best jobs I have ever had in my entire life. If I would have listened to the naysayers in the office, I would have missed out on what God said. Can I tell y'all what happened? They thought the guy was racist. And here I am, an African-American man. He wasn't no racist. He just wanted people to use their brain. It had nothing to do with race, the reason why he gave people a hard time. Can I tell you what happened when I walked to that office? He bought the whole office a dozen donuts at each station. I have this wooden bunny. I don't know where it's at because the guy's deceased now. He signed the back of it. They said, we have never seen him buy donuts. We have never seen him give a gift. I don't know what's different about you, but something has changed since you got here. Can I tell you that when you show up in faith and you shut out all the negativity, God will even make your enemies become your footstool. But when you get so consuming, they don't like this and they don't like that. Later for that, what did God say? I trusted God and his word, and guess what happened? God did incredible things. Many of you right now, you know the reason why you're not moving forward? Because you done fed yourself the wrong information. Your coworkers have told you, I wouldn't do that. They can't do that. I don't trust them. And all that stuff is God in your spirit, and you call it discernment, but it's really fear. But when God tells you to do something, I don't care what's going on around you, God can only bring change when you take a step of faith. And things are not, somebody's going through a tough situation right now in their job and you wanting things to change. It's not going to change until you change your attitude and how you see it and step forward in faith and watch God's favor invade that place in Jesus' name. I'm a living witness. Can I tell you how bad the guy was? He was kind of crude. He would, when I was wrong in the, where Charles is back there, where his office was from mine, I could hear him running. He said, Jason, you're wrong and I'm going to tell you why. Everybody on the floor knew that I had messed up, and I had to deal. Yeah, anybody have a boss like that? I had to deal with, yeah, maybe y'all didn't. I had to deal with that kind of stuff, but can I tell you, because I didn't get in my feelings and I stayed in faith, me and that man never went toe-to-toe. We never fought in the office. Neither one of us never cussed each other out. Why? Because I'm in the favor of God. And I saw him apologize. That man was so angry, I watched him break pencils with his hand and throw it. No, he was angry and throw it against the wall. We would be in meetings, and his wife would call, and he would about pull his hair out. I'm like, just don't answer. I mean, all these things, that's the kind of personality this man had. I never had one, the old folks say, one bit of trouble out of him. Why? Because I stayed in faith. Then you say, oh, I wish I had that testimony. You would if you stopped fighting ignorance. You can't argue by yourself. You can't fight by yourself. You get tired after a while. Choose not to. Y'all right in here? I'm governed by the word of God because whatever I feed, it grows. All right? The next thing is this. You got to renew your mind. Where am I at? You got to renew your mind to the word of God and not your situation. Romans 12 and 2 and 3 says this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and it's perfect. Remember this, I told you this a couple weeks ago. Your spirit is what gets saved. Your mind has to be renewed to the change that happens inside of you. Your flesh is not saved. Your flesh wants to make a fool of you. Your flesh, it is. You got to daily put it under subjection. Your spirit is what is saved. You know they sing the song, I looked at my hands and my hands look new. Y'all remember that song? Looked at my feet and my feet. Your hands and your feet are not new. Now you can get saved today. You fall out on the floor and they go back to work and you still can cuss. You still can fight. You still can do all that stuff. You say, I thought I was saved. You are saved. Your flesh ain't. You just got to retrain your mind so that now when somebody cuts you off in traffic, you don't tell them, number one, say, God bless you today. I'm just retraining myself. You all right? Somebody does you wrong. I'm going to get you. Everybody in the world going to know. No. You pray for those who despitefully use you. You retrain your mind to the liberty that exists in your spirit. That's what happens when you renew your mind. One of the biggest things I had to retrain my mind on, I would think broke. And I had to retrain my mind not to think broke. If you got $7.57 and you go to the ATM machine because you can't get but a minimum of $10, did the little receipt come back and say broke? No, it says insufficient funds. I had to take that mentality that I have something that I need, but it's not all there yet. Because when something is broke, it lacks the capacity to hold anything. You break a glass and it can't hold water. A broken heart can't hold love. A broken person can't hold joy. But when you're full and when you have something whole and you're not full yet, you can say, God, I need it. I just don't have it yet. I'm not living broke because my blessing is on the way. But when you're broke, when the blessing comes, you'll never contain it. And you'll stay in that space every day of your life. So I had to retrain my mind not to be broke. Here's how it got the best of me. I told you guys, you probably heard the story many million times. I bought this BMW right out of school. It was 2000. It was 19. I'm going to be an old man telling this story. 1998. 2-year-old BMW, and I was clean. Nobody told me how expensive the maintenance was. I had a Honda Accord, and the water pump went out, about $180. I'm good. I can take it to anybody. Little buddy down the street can put up under his tree and fix it. BMW, I'm taking the little folks. We ain't got the tools to operate on that. I was like, did nobody tell me all this? It wasn't that nobody tell me, is that I wasn't listening. Y'all all right in here? So I had to go get the water pump fixed, $400. So I was believing God every day, Lord, just don't let nothing break on this BMW. When I bought it, the man said, man, it's got a 6-disc CD changer, but it don't work. And I said, Lord, I done bought this, and the CD player don't work. My last Honda Accord I bought, the CD, I didn't have no CD. I had a tape player and a radio, and I had to beat the thing like that for it to come on. Folks would think, what is wrong with him? I had like I was playing the drums or something, the music would ever come. Y'all had cars like that before? It had a short in it. I said, Lord, I still don't got no music. I got a tape player and a radio. Income tax came around a year later after buying the car. I said, oh, yes, I'm going to believe God this year. I won't believe in God. I said, I'm going to get my CD player fixed. I went into Circuit City, and I was ready for that bill. They brought it back and said, Mr. Scales, it was fixed. I should have known something because it took them 15 minutes. I said, it's fixed already? And they said, yeah. I said, how much is it? I was bracing for it. They said, $15. I said, $15? They said the only thing you needed was a little cartridge that you hold the CDs that slides into the thing, and it would have played the whole time. My fear told me not to investigate. So I was bound in ignorance for an entire year because I wouldn't even figure out what was wrong and how much it cost. How many of us are bound in situations mentally because somebody sold us some foolish stuff and you've been stuck in a situation and you've not forgiven, you've not moved on because somebody sold you some old wives' tale that does not have anything to do with the word of God and you're sitting here bound right now and God says this, Jason, I want you to renew my mind to the word, your mind to the word and not the stuff that's going on around you. And it says this, that you may prove what the will of God is. I looked up what that word prove is. It seemed like an obvious word, right? But the Old Testament was translated into from Greek into the English that you see. And they picked the best word that they could. But when I looked up what that word prove meant, one of the biggest words it meant was approved. Whatever goes on in your life, you have approved it. So I have to, through my mind, decide, am I going to believe this foolishness this man told me? Or am I going to investigate? Whatever dysfunction or whatever's functional in your life, you make a decision whether or not you're going to approve it. So you teach people how to treat you. If you got drama in your life, no. That does not go on in this circle right here. I do not approve of that. I do not approve of struggling every week. No, I do not approve of every week things being in dysfunction. No, that's not who I am. I am trained to know what God has put it. That makes sense in here? I prove what the will of God is by what I approve in my life. What is going on in your life right now that you have approved of that God said should not be? What have you let guilt tell you? What have you let all these things tell you that God said, I want you to renew your mind because there's another way of living? The last thing is this. You got to act in faith in the word. You got to put the word to the test to see if it works. The determining factor in your life on whether or not you're in faith or feelings is not how you feel. It's what you do. I don't care how you feel. You go in the direction that God is speaking. And many of you are held back because you said, I don't feel it today. I don't care how you feel. What is God saying? Go in that direction. Even if the truth sounds monotonous, many of you here take a medication every day. You don't take it because of how it feels. You don't take it because of how it tastes. You take that same pill every day because it works. The word of God is the same way. I act in faith by applying the word every day because it works, not because of how it feels. Many of us are geared to operate based off how we feel. Matter of fact, we say we have church based off how you feel. Lord, we sure have church today. I can tell you exactly what happened. Somebody got to shouting. The organ got to playing, and somebody got to running. What did he preach? I don't know, but it sure sound good. And I know everything. It's going to be all right. I mean, I know what you're saying when we say we had good church. I know what you, because it's based on a feeling. But can I tell you what? Good meat makes its own gravy. When you get the word of God on the inside of you, it does. It does. They tell me the best steak don't need no A1 steak sauce because it's just that good by itself. When you act in faith in the word of God, you don't need no feelings. It produces its own feelings. It just says, God, this is what you say do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to take you at your word. Ask me how I know. I lived it out. God will test your faith to see if you'll do it. In high school, I worked at the If you were from Shelbyville, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There was a pool called Purdy Court. We didn't call it Purdy Court. We segregated the pools by color. And this was a certain type of pool that I worked at. And on Sundays, I would go up there before everybody got there, and I would go up there early in the morning, and I would clean up. I don't know what they did the night before, but I found a wallet full of money. And I don't know what that brother did, but he had a whole lot of money. I can make my assumptions, but there was a whole lot of money in that wallet. Ask me how I know. I counted it. And I said, he would never know where his wallet is at. He would never know what was going on. He probably thinks somebody got him. All these things are going through my head. And I was thinking, because I was getting ready to go to school, man, I could buy these shoes. I got to go fresh. You know, you think you're going to go to school, you got to go fresh, all that stuff like that. And something said, turn it back in. I couldn't rebuke the devil because the devil wasn't going to tell me to turn it in. I knew there had to be God. I said, I don't know about this. So I'm sitting here arguing with God. I turned it in to the pool manager when the pool opened. I said, somebody lost their wallet. Their license in. I'm not sure who it is. I think I know them, and they should come back. But I want you to hold the wallet here for them. Can I tell you, that next day, somebody stole that money out their wallet. Could have been him. I said, Lord, I could have took the money. Somebody's got its principle. It works. You do what's right. Can I tell you what? That same week, I knew exactly how much money was in that wallet. My big mama called me over to cut my granddaddy Clyde's hair. She may not even remember this. But big mama paid me more money than she'd ever paid me to cut his hair. And I said, this is odd. The amount of money that my big mama paid me was the same amount of money that was in that wallet. And God said, Jason, if you do what's right, can I tell you what? She could have gave me what she normally gave me. But God increased me because of my obedience. Can I tell you that if you just do what God says do and not how you feel? I felt some kind of way about having, I ain't gonna tell you how much money it was, but a whole lot of money. And for a 17-year-old, that was a whole lot of money. God said, turn it in. Somebody stole it anyway, but it wasn't me. Guess what? With that money that wasn't mine, I could have had a pair of shoes that I grew out of in 2 years. But I got a lesson that lasts me a lifetime that builds my faith because I walked in obedience. The very thing that you compromise yourself to get may feel good for a moment, but when you walk in faith, it builds you for a lifetime. I got stories to tell. I got some plenty of other stories I can tell Isaiah, but I got a good story that I can tell Isaiah. This is how you build your faith. Isaiah, when you do what's right, God will flood you exactly what you need. I'm going to walk you through a review here. Because this week, you are going to be faced with circumstances and situations. You're going to be faced with stuff. And can I tell you this? Repetition is the mother of all learning. When you repeat something, you have a greater likelihood of retaining it. Anybody have kids in school? Have you ever noticed they do the same thing over and over again? And after a while, after they do it, it sinks in. I'm going to show you the same thing that I showed you that last week, and it's going to work for you. You're going to go through some things. Life is going to throw you a feeling. It's going to throw you a thought, and you're going to have to make a decision. How am I going to respond to this? The Word of God is going to tell you something, just like in that situation. The Word of God said, Jason, turn that wallet in. I could ignore that word and said, I'm going to keep this money. If I can operate in how I think, feel, and choose, and to follow my feelings, and I would negate the Word of God. When I do that in my body, I'm going to act and speak according to what my situation says. And as a result, I'm going to live in bondage. But if I choose the Word, as hard as it is, I'm going to go through the same thing that everybody else goes through, but I'm going to trust God's Word. I'm going to believe it in my spirit that God, I'm going to believe you that it's going to work over what I see. And I'm going to think, feel, and choose based on the Word of God. And guess what? My body's going to act that out. Guess what the end result is? I'm not going to be in bondage to anything. Watch this. Many of us have negated the Word of God. Think what would have happened if I would have took that money from that wallet. I would have had several people fired. I went one time to Kroger and was supposed to get $20 back in change, and a little girl gave me $100. I could have shouted and said, thank God for the blessing. And many of you have. That's why you're laughing. There wasn't no blessing. Somebody got fired because their drawer came up short. It trained me. Do what's right. It trained me. Don't negate what the Word of God is telling you. When you train yourself to do what's right, as uncomfortable as it feels, you walk in domination to the world around you, and you are not dominated by how you think. You're not dominated by how you feel or the pressure that's coming to you. I want to challenge you with everything in you. Live by the Word. Even when you feel guilty, even when you're at the highest moment, God's Word works in any situation if you work it. Stand to your feet. That make sense? I want to pray here. First, I want to give an invitation. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you've not accepted him into your heart, I want to, every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to extend him to you. the forgiveness of sin.